Turn to Leviticus this morning. Don't sigh when I say Leviticus. I think you'll see it differently when we get through with some of these feasts that we're looking at. I started on last Sunday night with an intro dealing with the feast, and today we're going to look at the first of these seven feasts, broken down into three different seasons. The spring feast, with the three feasts that deal with Passover. Then, of course, the feast, the single feast of Pentecost. And then the fall feast as well, the Feast of Tabernacles. Seven altogether, God's number of completeness. In Leviticus 23, let's look at verse 4, and I hope you'll keep your Bibles open because we're going to another portion of Scripture that you need to look at today. In Leviticus 23, beginning with verse 4, these are the feasts of the Lord, even holy convocations. On last Sunday night, I mentioned to you that holy convocation simply means a sacred assembly, but the literal meaning of that word is dress rehearsal. So they are performing a dress rehearsal here, which ye shall proclaim in their seasons, the three seasons that we talked about, seven feasts in three seasons. In the 14th day of the first month, that's Nisan, in the 14th day of the first month at even is the Lord's Passover. It begins at the evening. Now that's important because I told you in the last message that the Jews now from Passover forward, Passover started a second calendar, a sacred calendar. They not only had the agricultural calendar, but now they have a spiritual or a sacred calendar that marks these feasts and the time of the year that they're to partake of the individual feast. We're looking at the feast of Passover today. I wish I had time to go completely into what happens at Passover. Time doesn't allow me to do that. There's a lot I have to say. A lot of it I know you're going to try to write and keep up with me. I'll try to do the best I can in the time I've got to share what God's placed on my heart. But if you'll stay with me, there's been some things that I have found out from Jews that have absolutely flooded my soul and my heart in recent days with such blessings. And of course, the first three deal, as Kevin mentioned earlier, with peace. It is to give us the understanding of the peace we have when we're in a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. All of this is pointing to the Lamb of God that would come. Passover is all about a lamb. Passover is a picture, a portrait, and a prophecy all in one about the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, that was to come. So let me just break it down, the Lamb, in two separate categories for us to look at this morning. First, I want to talk to you about Moses' symbolic Lamb, what happened at Passover. And then I want to talk to you about Mary, the Virgin, and her sacrificial Lamb, Jesus Christ. And how that you can see from Moses' symbolic lamb how Mary had a lamb who was willing to die for the sin of the world and be sacrificed for the sin of all mankind. Now, when we look at Moses' lamb and Passover, you'll have to go back to Exodus 12. Turn there if you will. Keep your Bibles open because I'm going to skip through different verses. I don't want to confuse you, but just to put it in an order in our mind so that we can understand it. You know that the Israelites have been in bondage. They have been slaves. God's people have served as slaves of Egypt. Egypt always represents slavery. When you read in your Bible about Egypt, in the Bible, in the Old Testament, in the Old Covenant, you're always dealing with slavery. That's what we are as sinners. We are enslaved by our sins. We don't want to do certain things, but we're a slave to sin. Things that you want to break and things that you want to quit that you know sinful. You're bound by that. You're a slave to that. So we see slavery with its leader Pharaoh, a type of Satan himself. I thought that this was interesting. For some reason, I had to go back. Every nation, every empire has a symbol. The symbol of the U.S. is the eagle. Would you agree with that? When you see an eagle, you think of our country. Well, the Egyptians had a symbol too. And I was amazed to find out the symbol of Egypt during the time of Exodus was a snake. They put snakes on everything. The guard on Pharaoh's arm that wrapped around his arm to protect his arm was a serpent that was coiled. His crown, most Egyptian kings, their crown had coiled serpents on them. The scepters and the staffs in the throne room had golden scepters of serpents on the scepters and on the staffs. And along comes this bondage, and finally God says, my people's had enough. I'm going to set them free. So he speaks to Moses through a burning bush. And don't ever overlook the miracle of the burning bush, because a lot of liberal theologians like to say there's nothing amazing about a bush that's burning. Nothing amazing about that. I remember one time when I was in Bible college, I had a liberal professor that taught that there was a natural gas well and it just broke up and lightning struck the bush and it was caught on fire. The rest of it was all inner spirit, you know, and taken in. But the miracle's not that the bush burned. The miracle was the bush burned and was not consumed. God said, now, go tell him, set my people free. You know what happened? The plagues came. The last plague was the plague of Passover. Pesach is the word in Hebrew. When you see that word, P-E-S-A-C-H, anytime you see it, that's what they're referring to, is the feast of Passover. Pesach means to jump over, to pass over. And God said, I know that you're bound by the serpent, but out of all the things, Passover was all about a lamb. Isn't it something that God chose a lamb to defeat the snake? It all started in Genesis with Satan, more subtle than any beast of the field. As a serpent, he spoke to him. But God defeated the serpent on Calvary with a lamb. God always defeats the snake with a lamb. That's amazing, because a lamb is a gentle animal. They can't run very fast. They're slow. The lamb's not like other animals. They don't have fangs to protect their self with like a snake does. They don't have teeth like a lion. They don't have claws like an eagle. They have no means of defending themselves. I recently shared down in North Carolina when I was there. I had to touch on just one part of it. I remember hearing the story of a pastor friend that had a man that worked in a slaughterhouse. And he said they slaughtered cattle there. Their main thing was cattle. Said they do hogs some, but more cattle than anything. One morning, the boss came in and said, we're going to start slaughtering lambs. And he said, I can remember when they ran the first one up the ramp, his job was to take the life of the animal that was to be slaughtered. And he said, I remember that lamb coming up and looking so innocently in my eyes. And he said, I took the knife and I slit the throat of the lamb. And he said, and the blood came out on my hand. He said, the blood of the lamb was all over my hand. He said, the lamb looked at me so innocently, never said a word, but as to say, I'm not going to fight you. He said, in fact, that lamb began to lick its own blood on my hand. He said, I walked to the boss and said, either you stop having me kill lambs or I quit this job. I'm done. I can't stand. That's how gentle that a lamb is. My, the Lamb of God that came. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, the Bible says, yet he openeth not his mouth. Jesus never fought them in any way. The Lamb of God was willing to lay down and shed his blood that we might be saved. Let's look at this symbolic lamb. What you're supposed to do. You have to go to Exodus chapter 12. Let's look at a few things about this lamb. The first thing that they had to do was they had to select the lamb. In Exodus 12:3, speak you unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month, again, you'll read earlier in that chapter, they started a new year on this month, on this day. In this month, he said, your calendar's rescheduled, reslated because of the lamb. It's a new year. I don't think you got that. It's a new year because of the lamb. And he said, on this day, it's important that you see the 10th day of this month. They shall take to them, every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. In verse 21, if you'll go down. Then Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said unto them, draw out and take your lamb according to your families and kill the Passover. Now that's interesting. We think of Passover as a feast. But here he says, kill the Passover. In other words, kill the lamb. The Passover is all about the lamb, and the lamb is all about the Passover. Don't overlook the Lamb of God in all of this. The deliverance comes through the lamb. He said, so you've got to select the perfect lamb. The lamb has to be selected on the 10th day of the month of Nisan, of this month. That's when it occurred. And then it was a special lamb. In Exodus 12:5, if you'll go to the 5th verse, you'll read where he said, your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats. Verse 6, and ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. Why the evening? We mentioned to you last Sunday night, our calendar and our days are sunrise to sunset. The Jews' days start at 6 o'clock in the evening. Sunset to morning the next day. Where's that from? The book of Genesis. He made the evening, then the morning. And they follow that pattern. Their day starts at sunset. And the new day begins at sunset and follows through sunlight of the next day. That's important that you catch that. He said it has to be a special lamb. It is a male. This is not about a male or female. It's telling us that the Lamb of God that would come one day to save the world would be a male. Hey, look right here. Look right here. I don't want to offend anybody, but if it offends you, you'll get over it. This gender-neutral Bible stuff is ridiculous. We're not interested in making Jesus anything other than what He is. He was the only begotten Son of God. He said it can't be any lamb. It's got to be a special lamb. And he said when you do it, you bring that out for the 14th day. And to the 14th day, you'll search through this lamb's life. Look at this lamb to make sure it's a special lamb. Some people say they even kept the lamb in their house so that it would become like a pet to them. So that when the lamb was killed, then they would have a special affection for the lamb. I wish we'd fall in love with Jesus again. I really do. The Bible says if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. If we really love Jesus, it's easy to do what's right. It's easy to do what He wants. It's when we don't love Jesus that we get in trouble. So he said it had to be selected and it had to be special. It had to be special in the sense that it had to be spotless. Your lamb shall be without blemish. Had to be a perfect lamb. And to make sure it was perfect, watch it from the 10th, 10th, 11th, 12th, 13th, 14th day. 5 days, watch it. That's important. 5 days, 5 days. 5 days before you have Passover, watch it. You don't have the Passover until the evening of that day. Watch it the 10th day, the 11th day, the 12th day, the 13th day, 14th day. 5 days it'll be examined. Did you get that? How long would it be examined? 5 days. You look 10 to 14, that's 4 days. No, you got to take the 10th day too. 5 days. 5 days. Look, find fault in it. Got you thinking now, don't I? Then he says the lamb is to be slain in verse 6. You shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation shall kill it in the evening of the 14th day. Then the Bible says in verse 21, then Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said unto them, draw out and take your lamb according to your families and kill the Passover. The lamb has to be slain. Has to be killed. The lamb doesn't kill itself. The lamb has to be killed. Has to shed its blood. Then we see this, that not only was the lamb killed, but the next thing, it was to be shared. You'll find out in Exodus 12:4 how they were to share the lamb. And if the household be too little for the lamb, in other words, if the lamb is too much for your house, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the soul. If every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. In other words, if the lamb is bigger than your house, share it with your neighbor. Glory. I think you're catching on to where I'm going now.
We ought to share the land. If this thing is as good as what we say it is, and if Jesus means to us what we say means to us, and I promise you, He's bigger than me. Share Him with everybody that you can share Him with. Then we see that the Lamb was sufficient. What do you mean it was sufficient? Well, here they were. The Lord said, there's going to be a Passover. How did they kill the Lamb? He tells them how to kill it in verse 7. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts, on the upper door post of the houses, wherein they shall eat it. Then down in verse 22, the Bible says, and you shall take a bunch of hyssop, and dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and strike the lintel and the two side posts with the blood that is in the basin, and none of you shall go out at the door of his house until the morning. Go back to verse 13. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Oh, well, glory. Here's what got me when I started studying this. They were to kill the lamb at the threshold. This is called a threshold covenant. They lived among the Egyptians, and the Egyptians served all kinds of false gods. And one of the gods that they, many of the gods they served, they believed they could make a covenant with that god by offering some type of sacrifice to their god for peace in their homes. And it was done through a threshold covenant. They would take the lamb, in this case, to the door of the house. They would split its throat, let the blood run down into the basin. A basin is a threshold in the Jewish homes. It was there because, with it being so dry, there's rainy seasons, early rains, latter rains. You know that from your Bible study. And when those rainy seasons come, it's so hard, the ground is so baked and so hard, it runs awful, water would run into the house. So they would build a trench, a basin, just like we've got down at the end of this drive, right beside a Faye's house. When you leave this church, there is a catch basin there that the water can run down into to keep the water from coming into the house until it has time to soak back out into the soil. He said, let that go down in the basin. You take hyssop. And by the way, the word hyssop means faith plant. It's called a faith plant. For any of you that's ever been to the Holy Land, you know the first thing they'll do. They'll say, there's hyssop. Why? Because it'll grow on stone. Like you can go to the old temple wall where nothing else can live. And there's no dirt, no soil. And all of a sudden, hyssop is growing out. It just lives there by faith. It clings by faith. They take the faith plant and they dip it in the blood. And then they put it on the side post. They put it on top. And now there's blood at the bottom. Hey, by the way, look at that cross in front of me. Did he not bleed from both hands? Did he not bleed from his head? And did he not bleed from his feet? Then, with a threshold covenant, they would declare Pesach. That word simply means we cannot walk through the blood. The word Passover literally means to jump over. What they would do is they would jump over the threshold. Glory. And then they would pray to God and say, Lord, now you jump over behind us and you stand in the door. So now the door has blood sealed all around it. And God is standing in the doorway. Well, glory. You cannot get to the child of God, Satan. We are not only sealed by the blood, but God stands in the doorway. Jesus said, I am the door to the sheepfold. What was he saying? I've jumped over and I've stayed in the door, and the enemy can't get into your house because Jesus answers the door. Glory, glory. And then the strengthening of the lamb. Now the lamb is dead. What do they do with the lamb? We know what they do with the blood. Exodus 12:7. And they shall take the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door posts of the house, wherein they shall eat it. Eat what? Eat the lamb. Verse 8, and they shall eat the flesh in that night. It has to die and be eaten that night. Roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Verse 9, eat not of it raw, nor sodden it all with water, but roast with fire his head with his legs. Now that's important. And the pertinence thereof, the inside. Don't even take time to clean the lamb. Don't field dress it. Roast it all. How do you roast a lamb? Get it done enough to eat with the pertinence inside. I'll tell you in 1 minute. And thus shall you eat it, in verse 11, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, your staff in your hand. You shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. You'll find out when they ate this, nothing, they had to eat it all. Nothing could be left. Well, how could they eat that like that? Well, here's what they did. They would build a spit in the shape of a crossbar. Stretch the legs out. They were forbidden to break the bone of the lamb. They would stretch it out so that it's open, so that it could cook thoroughly through. They always roast it on a crossbar. And they had to eat all of it, had to take it all or nothing. God said, part of it, oh, I'm preaching now. Listen, you can't take the parts of Jesus you like and do away with the parts that you don't like. You take all of God or none of God. You take all of Jesus or none of Jesus. It's everything or nothing with God. He said, eat it in haste. Don't think about it this morning. Don't put him off. Don't chew it around in your mind. Don't say maybe tomorrow, maybe next week. I'm telling you, you better have your staff in your hand, your shoes on your feet. You better be ready to go to heaven. What you do, you better do in a hurry, because Jesus could come any minute. The strengthening of the lamb. Well, let me do this. Mary's sacrificial lamb. Now, how does Jesus fit to all of that? Well, today, I don't have a lot of time. I don't want to keep you long. But today, let me do one thing. They observe a feast called Seder. That is the meal of Passover. Jewish people, some do it one night, some do it two nights of Passover. But this feast started and still goes on today. Why? Because God says it'll be a perpetual feast. We dealt with that in the previous message. It'll go on and on and on. Well, that means a lot. Here's what happens. We as Christians don't understand the unusual things that happened and still happen during that feast. Now, some things the Jews have added, they don't even know why they added it or when they put it there. I know why it's there. For example, by the time Christ came to this earth, when they would meet for Passover, they would have an empty, and for understanding purposes only, they always laid, they had that Brian, I think, shared in the message. When you're the one lay on the left side, you're the one preached that sermon. The left side is a picture of freedom and liberty. They always had to lay on their left side. But there was always a chair that was open, a seat, if you will, that was open. Nobody could sit in that seat. That was the Messiah's chair. There was a cup in Jesus' time that nobody could drink from. That was the Messiah's cup. The bitter herbs is because of the bitter year. The salt water that they dip the bitter herbs in is for the tears that they had shed. Because nobody understands your tears like Mary's lamb. The Son of God, Jesus Christ. Well, preacher, you keep saying He's the Lamb of God. How do you get that from the Bible? John said, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And they did these unusual things. For example, they always have an egg. Always have an egg. No one knows why they have an egg. A lot of the old rabbis tell me that, and those that I've talked to, it's because of their affliction. The egg, the more you boil it, the harder it gets. And it's a picture of the Jews, the more that they persecute them, the harder they got. The more they were afflicted, the more they grew, is the way the Bible put it. But they always have something special there as well. Can we do just something with Passover? Just maybe one thing this morning. Let me fix something here for you. They'd always have to have matzah, unleavened bread. That's all that it is, just unleavened bread. You can find it in your local grocery store in some places. I found out Portsmouth is not a good place. We are low on Jews in our area. Pray that God will bless them. The matzah is the unleavened bread that they would use at Passover. Get a piece of that out. Some of you, you might want to come up later and see it. Matzah has to have two things. It has to have stripes, and it has to be pierced. Oh, glory. Hallelujah. And they didn't know why. Kevin, they didn't know why they always wanted them to do it. But here's the order of the matzah. They would put matzah down one layer. Then they would cover it. They would get another piece of matzah. Put it in the middle section. They would cover it. They take the third piece of matzah. Lay it on top. And then they cover it. Sound very good, doesn't it? Now, for some reason, when they would cover this, when they would start into the Passover, to break the bread the first time, the leader would always go not to the top one, would always go to the middle one. Break the middle one for the larger portion. Put the middle one back in the middle place. While they were enjoying themselves, they would take the middle one, leave the room where no one could see. And while no one was looking, they would hide the bigger part of the middle one. For 1,500 years, they've been handling lambs, and for 1,500 years, they've been partaking of the Passover. Then comes Jesus. John chapter 12 and verse 1. Have you ever noticed out of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the four gospel writers, one gospel, four writers, how much time they spend on the last week, even though with all the miracles Jesus performed, the better part of the time is spent telling you about the last week of Christ's life, in particular the last 5 days. It starts in John 12. When they come to Bethany, John 12, 1, he is very specific. He says it is 6 days before Passover. John 12, 1. John 12, 12, when you get there, the Bible says the next day. Now, help me out here. I went to a country school way out, grade school. Five take four, six take away one is what? Five days. We know that was the 10th day of Nisan. History records it. John 12, 12, on the 10th day, the day they selected the lambs, here's what they do. They had a special generation of shepherds that would raise these lambs down at Bethlehem, which means the house of bread. Bethlehem was in Judea, in Judah, which is the land of praise. The house of bread and the land of praise. They would raise these shepherds, and they had to be out of the fields of Boaz. On a Sunday before, 6 days before, 5 days before, rather, Passover, Jesus has come in on 6th day, on Saturday. On the next day, on Sunday, 5 days before, they would herd those sheep up from Bethlehem through the sheep gate. And the people would sing, "Hosanna, Hosanna," because the sheep were coming in through the sheep gate. It was the exact same time that the multitude gathered that Jesus comes riding a donkey through the same gate. And the people lay down their palm branches and say, "Hosanna, Hosanna." He is then inspected for that 5-day period of time. Passover's coming. He sends his disciples to prepare the last meal that he'll have with them called Passover. When he comes into the room, he sits down on his left side. But guess where he sits? The Messiah's chair. And he takes the cup and he says, give me the cup, not a cup. Give me the cup. What cup? The Messiah's cup. I'm the one for 1,500 years that Jews have been talking about coming and portraying that's coming. Give me that. And he said, I want you to drink of this cup. This is the New Testament, my new covenant. In my blood, this is my blood that is sealing the new covenant for you that Jeremiah talked about when he said there would be the old and there would be the new. So he's got the Messiah's chair and the Messiah's cup. And then he takes, they never take from the top first, never from the bottom. They always take from the middle. And he begins to break it off. And he says, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. About the Lamb. He passes it around to all of them. Make sure that they all get some of the matzah. Didn't want to leave any of them out. Want to make sure they all got it. So he breaks off. This is my body, which is broken for you. This is my body, which is broken for you. You getting the picture? This is my body, which is broken for you. Any part of it you don't understand now? It's all happening. The bread is there. The cup is there. Oh, but what about that hidden piece? Boy, I'm telling you, I read this. Now, you think about this. Brian, for 1,500 years, they had the Trinity in their hands and didn't realize it. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. On that same plate is always the shank bone of a lamb, forbidden to be broken. Now, though, sometimes they've altered it through time and they'll put the neck bone of a turkey or a chicken on there, but they still prefer the lamb bone. Can't be broken. They killed the lamb at the same time. Every time. 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Why did they kill the lamb at 3? So they could roast it and eat it by 6 o'clock. The Bible is very explicit and tells us the very moment that Jesus died on the cross was 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Those little lambs are now on the Temple Mount. On Mount Moriah, the same mountain that Abraham was willing to offer up Isaac. And they're there with those little lambs' heads in their hands. And the priests take their shimmering knives and slit the throat of that lamb and the blood spills out. At the very time that that is happening on the other end of Mount Moriah, there is a cry at exactly 3 o'clock. It is finished! The next day is the high day of the feast. So the old rabbis go to the Roman rulers and said, we've got to get them off the cross for Holy Day. So they said, go through and break their legs and make sure they're off by 6 o'clock. But when they come to Jesus, he's already died, roasted with fire, consumed by the sins of the world on Calvary's cross. Glory. They take him down from the cross. And when they take him down from the cross, the middle section, they wrap him. and they hide him away. In Seder, they say to the children at one point, it's time for dessert. Go find the hidden manna. And they'll run through their house and they'll search until finally one of the children come back and they say, I found it. It is the hidden manna. Wrapped. The children can redeem, pay a ransom for the manna. In other words, they have a little prize there, maybe candy or a gift. And the ruler will say, I'll pay the prize for the hidden manna. He unwraps it and says, dessert time. Thank God, thank God. He died and they thought they hid him away. But God said, I know where he's at. And on that first resurrection morning, when they come to find him, they found that the Father already done everything that needed to be done. The stone was rolled away. And Jesus had come forth unwrapped. There was the grave clothes as a reminder to Peter and to John. I've already risen just like I said that I would raise from the dead. I'm telling you folks, here's what blessed my soul. So many Christians, they'll accept the cross. They'll accept that part that was broken for them. But don't you know, there's a part that was hidden away that when you start thinking he died, but thank God he didn't stay dead. He is alive. And as we take in the resurrected Lamb of God, he is alive inside of us as well. I'm telling you, you'll start loving him like you've never loved him before. Glory to God. You learned anything today?
Amen.
Passover. Well, where's the peace in all that? Well, they could hear the moans. They could hear the groans. As the firstborn was destroyed. But they could say to their children, youngins, don't worry. God made us a promise. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. Take comfort and peace. God always keeps his word.